Okay, we are back in open session. Again, we are on item number 9, regards to Simon Escalada, DVM, and Dr. Thompson.
Yes, so I'd like to make a motion to the board based on information obtained in a recent site visit, visiting Dr. Escalada, that we recommend removing the requirement for the physical and the mental evaluation prior to the informal hearing in September.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second. Any further discussion? Okay, all those, roll call.
Dr. Byrne.
Aye.
Ms. Krieger.
Aye.
Dr. James is an aye. Mr. Loewe.
Aye.
Dr. Nosley.
Aye.
Ms. Solomon.
Aye.
Dr. Thompson.
Aye.
And Dr. Wright.
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. Everyone's still good to go. We are on section number 4. Number 2, so we're reports, correspondence, referrals, and other business. Number 2, board may review, discuss, and take action on information received on Jacqueline B. McGill, CBT.
Madam Chair, I move we open the case.
Okay.
Second.
Oh, yes, okay. Okay, motion and a second to open a case against the CBT providing possible veterinary services. There's any further discussion? Okay, all those in favor say aye of opening the case.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Next one, number 3, board may review, discuss, and take action on information received on Danielle Hinch, possible unlicensed practitioner. Okay, do we have a way to... Is this one, do we have a way to contact? Was there contact information for?
Yes, we do.
We do? Okay.
I'm sure I move we open the case.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second to open a case against Danielle Hinch. There's no further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Number 4, board may review, discuss, and take action on information regarding reportable charge regarding Emily Young, CBT. And Dr. Byrne, you were the lead on this.
Yes, I'd make a motion that we open a case.
Okay. We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Motion and a second to open a case on Emily Young. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Next up, number 5, board may review, discuss, and take action on premise inspection results. And the first one, number A, is PO735, the Pride Animal Hospital, Roger Chen, DVM. Victoria and Annalise, you are the lead.
Chair, members of the board, I'll just kick this off before I turn to Annalise. But in general, this is a hospital that's been inspected three or four times in recent years, because the board's directed us to go back for various reasons. I think overall we could say that it's improved, but there are still problems. Things are still not being fixed. So if you wanted to talk specifically about what you saw, the biggest concerns.
There are a few concerns I have. I guess most importantly is the amount of incomplete records. The previous inspection that was done a couple years ago stated that the inspector says she counted at least 30. I physically counted, and one pile was 47. There were multiple records on his desk in a separate pile. He stated there were 3. I could have sworn I saw more, but there was just a pile of paperwork on his desk, so I don't know what I was even looking at. So they could have been records. There could have been more than 3 records, or there could have been 3 records. He stated in his response that he got a little file thing, and that has corrected all his problems. I mean, it's just adding a stack, a holder to a stack. But, and then another concern of mine is the cleanliness of the premise. There was just a layer of dust on a lot. I tried to take pictures to kind of capture that. There was old IDEX equipment in the corner of a surgery suite, and there was just thick dust on it. There was thick dust on the light. It just looked like it hasn't been cleaned in a while. There was dust on the pharmaceuticals that were in the pharmacy area. He has improved on the controlled substance logs since the last inspection. which is a huge plus, but my concern there was he pulled out the controlled substance drugs and he's like, I think they're all there, you may find some on the shelf. So I didn't, luckily enough, I didn't find any, but to not, to think that there might have kind of just raised a red flag, but there was no potential violation there. So yeah, those are kind of my concerns. He does do boarding where he lets pets free roam while clients are in there. I believe I included a picture of a dog that was there and kind of followed me around as I walked around the hospital, and he did have his Belgian Malinois free roaming too, but he did lock him up.
And he every time that I've been there, he has the same. But so this is, thank you. It's just another case of how many times are we going to tell people what the issues are? So even though it's better. So I guess the board has the opportunity, if you'd like to open a case, just to give them a chance, you know, to respond to the specific question of why do we have to keep telling you these things after you told us you fixed them, or if you feel that there's enough improvement to just.
Chair, based on the number of inspections and repeat violations, I move we open a case.
Second.
Okay, a motion and a second to open a case against Pride Animal Hospital. Any further discussion? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Number two, or B, R1568 Paws Veterinary Clinic, PC, Wendy Holst, DBM.
Madam Chair, members of the board, Todd and I did this inspection. There were multiple potential violations that we're just concerned about. This is, for the most part, the first time they're being told about these. So we would just request the board have us do a repeat inspection within the next year.
So moved.
Yep. Second.
Okay. A motion and a second to do another inspection within the year's time. There's no further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Last one, R2597, Quartz Mountain Animal Hospital, Diego Flores, DPM.
Madam Chair, members of the board, so ditto on this, the same situation. I think there are actually more potential violations than that pause. And this one, just as a side note, the responsible vet is the same person who we talked about at a recently previous meeting of a different premise that he owns that we're also going back to. So it's kind of a pattern.
That's the only two
places.
And he has wanted applicant status.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
He has a note wanted applicant status.
Because it moved, right?
Because it's because of an application.
Okay. So we would just have us go back to that one.
Okay.
At some point, like on these, like if we have one in applicant status and we have two that have significant violation, well, potential violations, do we ever say, until you get those two cleaned up and working properly and in order, we're not going to allow you to take on any more responsibility because you can't do what you're doing already? I mean, it's almost like we're approving him to make the issue worse if we're approving another premise when we know he can't keep the two he has in line. You know what, like,
right. I mean, that probably is a Mark question. I would guess that you could
that sounds
tie them together.
Yes, no.
I mean,
because
it's like giving
him
rope to hang
yeah,
himself.
It
that's what it's
logical.
Doing, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
can we constrain private industry business?
You have to view it on its own, and if that's a concern, that may be a basis not to, you know, to take further action against the license.
Well, or is that a basis to open a case now on this one?
Yeah.
Even though it's the first time we've seen these?
So the Small Business Bill of Rights that we tell everybody that when we walk in the door explains that in almost every situation, folks have the opportunity to correct something the first time they're told. There's a few exceptions. Would be something like, it's such a big problem, you can't fix it in a reasonable time if it's an immediate threat to public health and safety, or if it's a pattern of noncompliance, which is why we open cases and find violations, is because it's a pattern of noncompliance. But for the most part, the first time they're told, they have the right, by an overarching law, they have a right to fix something before the agency takes action. Having said that, this is not the first, Quartz Mountain is not a brand new hospital.
It's not a new one. It was last inspected in 2000, late 15, early 16.
Right. So because we're at a point of, you know, we've only had one inspector until, you know, a month ago, you know, we're at 7-8 years on some of them where we haven't been back. So it's a question we've always taken internally of, is it fair to find someone? And when it's been so long since we've been there, we've always kind of said no.
So it's kind of starting over, and that's where we're trying to get with the second inspector to a place where we're going at least every 5 years at least, so that you can put them more together.
Can we put a shorter timeframe on re-inspecting courts or the other hospital that she has? So that we can see if we're making improvements?
Would you say like in the next 3 months? So I know in the past we've, maybe it was Ms. Frost who made the comment of after inspection, the hospitals are often on their good behavior. It usually takes 3 months before they go back to their old habits. So that's why we would typically wait at least 3 months, but if you, we can certainly go back.
We want to wait 3 months to make sure that staff and everybody is, you know, have relearned and
I don't know, I don't know if I can ask this right now, so don't answer if I can't, but when's the last time we inspected the previous hospital that had issues? Has that been longer than 3 months?
It was probably about 3 months. It was April.
Oh, okay, so we're just right there too.
So that one could be re-inspected in the next 2 months or something like that, just so that we can get a better gauge on whether things are being fixed or not.
And then also do this one within the next 6 months, that way it gives them ability to do three or longer if we have to.
So, Madam Chair, if this is possible for staff, can we emphasize a couple of these points, especially the controlled substance log, one, and then the temperature in the refrigerator. Because if there are vaccines in there, none of them are any good. Mm-hmm. And they should not be used in any animal, period. And 52, I wouldn't even bring beer.
Yes, that's it.
Come on.
And we actually have talked about that, is that we don't, as far as I know, that I don't know that we have the legal authority as inspectors to tell people to throw stuff away. We strongly suggest that they do, that they would be not great to be doing that, but we don't have the authority to make them do it, which I wish we did.
So. I mean, when I come across it, I would advise them maybe to reach out to the manufacturer and see if there's what threshold or the true thresholds of that specific vaccine. But I also did tell them I can't direct them what they can and cannot do with that vaccine.
Well, I can tell you whatever vaccine, 45 degrees is the top.
Mm-hmm. 45, 46.
45, 46 is the top. And 35 is the bottom. Period. There's not anything outside of those. Now, there are brief windows that they consider for transport where it can minimally arrange, but that's an hour. I mean, that's in time. It's very specific. You know, that's why they package them in styrofoam containers with ice bags, just to keep it in that range. But.
Okay, do we need a motion or are we just directing staff to
re-inspect in?
Three months. Emphasize the stuff that's really going to make a difference. Because those, I would almost say, you say that we give them the potential of the small business rule stuff. I would almost say that anything with controlled substance, that could be something that overrides that small business deal. I defer to council. But,
I agree.
So now, this is maintaining a law.
So on the other practice, we're going to go within the next 2 months-ish, and then on this one, we'll within the next 6 months.
Yeah.
Seem reasonable?
That seems fine too. Okay. And how about if we find still concerning things at the first one, we go back even sooner? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're all close to each other.
Mm-hmm. You could go on the same thing.
Okay, sounds good. Next up, number six, board may review, discuss, and take action on American Association of Veterinary State Boards proposed bylaw amendments. Dr. Wright.
Oh, that's me. There
are. How many months have we pended this? How many months have we pended this?
Well, two. I'm kind of sure it's been a while. I get to go through it in 2 seconds. But basically, there's three proposed amendments right now, and they're all recommendation for passing at this point. I don't know who our delegate is this year.
Me.
Ah, there we go. Okay.
So then Dr. Thompson, I think you're coming too, right?
Okay. Oh, cool. So yeah, the first one is basically just making that bilingual because we have Canadian provinces that are now part of the bigger part of the ASVAB, and they use registrar for a lot of their legalese. So now you know another word in another language, Canadian. So we're just updating that. So that's just kind of cleaning up things.
It's French. Canadian.
Angie's.
Yeah, loser. And then proposal amendment 2 and 3 are similar-ish, but they're basically turning ad hoc committees into real committees as opposed to just having to recreate ad hoc committees all the time. So that's all that is right there, is just putting two committees that we've had for a while. Were you on the Leadership Development Committee?
That's me.
Oh, you're on it. Oh, okay. So you're going to be official. So that's what those two are, is just basically making it from ad hoc to official committees. And then the Regulatory Policy Committee just kind of expanding their roles just slightly. But nothing really exciting on this one. It's just kind of shopkeeping and cleaning house stuff. Anybody have any questions on those? Cool.
Okay.
There is my presentation that you waited to.
Fabulous. Short and sweet. I like it. All right. On to number 8.
Worth the wait.
Yeah. Board may review, discuss, and take action on veterinary license applications. These are in Supplement 1. First one, A, is Etta Watts. This was DUI back in 1999. So
I think we should have her come in.
I know, right? Mm. Talk about her.
Yeah.
Like 99.
Her fake ID as well.
Just kidding.
But she had a nice letter. I always like to point that out. I appreciate when people take the time, even if it was many years ago. But
and
still.
I'm amazed. 1999, she's got these records.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I can understand that. Yeah.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
I make a motion that we approve Dr. Watts to take the licensing exam.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. B, Scott Pappas. He said when he had a licensing issue here, he failed a state exam back in
the 80s.
Before I was born, I would just like to point that out. Just by a year, but
wait
still.
And I do think the state exam changed at some point here. Like, when I took it, there still was quite a bit of medical on it, and then it became more jurisprudence. So somewhere in there was a shift in our exam.
Did he pass part? He failed the other.
I took the state exam in 99.
Oh, so after 2008, it was like 3 medical questions. Yeah, so yeah.
And you knew what they were, as the toe.
The frog.
Was the...
But yeah, from 1980s, I have no problem with that.
Okay. So
I would make a motion to allow him to sit for the test and
approving his application. So.
Approving the application, thank
you. Can I just mention, it's a small thing. It says, have you ever taken NAVLE? No. But then he gave a date that he took the NAVLE and that he passed.
Was it called NAVLE back then?
I think the last year to not have the NAVLE was 99. I did not take the NAVLE.
Oh.
You didn't?
No. You have the option of taking it for fun.
That sounds like something I want to sign up for. So 99 did not take the NAVLE.
You didn't have a national board exam.
We had a national board exam, it just wasn't the NAVLE.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second to accept Dr. Pappas' application. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Number 9, board may review, discuss, and take action on veterinary license open complaint in North Carolina. This was in your Supplement 1, and it's Amanda Gray, DVM. Victoria, if you would like to...
Sure, Madam Chair, members of board, this one's unusual, as I explained in the memo, and I just put it on the agenda just as an abundance of caution, just because of the timing of it. When she did apply, she had checked the box that said she had no open complaints, which it seemed like she didn't at the time. But right on top of the time she was being licensed, she disclosed that she had just found out about this complaint in North Carolina. So we don't have any more information about this. So it's just...
These are ones we typically just ask to fill us in.
Yes.
Once it's been resolved. Okay.
Yes. So we'll have her tell us within... 30 days, 60 days.
Yep.
Okay. So do we approve her application or anything, or that this is just?
No, it's already done.
Okay, so that's just, she's licensed.
Yeah, she's already licensed.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It's just the timing.
So is this a formal action, or is that just a?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think it's just a record request.
All right. Does anyone need a bathroom break again, or can we keep?
No,
We're almost done.
Okay. Board may review, discuss, and take action on utilization of state remote item writing training offered by American Association of Veterinary State Boards. Again, supplement one, Victoria.
Madam Chair, members of the board, the AAVSB offers this opportunity through their testing vendor to provide training to boards if they want such training on how to write questions for their state exams. I never had that training, but I think it would be helpful that the board invest in that to allow myself and other staff members to take that training to have be better skilled at writing questions for the exam.
So moved.
I will second, as long as there's a frog question.
A frog question?
The toad.
It's a boo-boo-boo.
Poisonous toads?
I saw two different prices. What's the difference between the two?
I was just suggesting that we do the training. The other one, that's the more expensive one, which I thought was too expensive, where they actually look at questions that you drafted and they have a live session with you as to how to.
That's what we're here for.
No.
I'm sorry.
That's what we're here for, look what you drafted.
That's right.
Yeah.
You can do that. We'll save money and let someone else do that.
Now, is that $2,300 for everybody or individually?
It's, I took it as it's a group because it's an online training work. It's just like a Zoom call where they do training. And they, the quote was for teaching us how to write multiple choice questions, which we don't have. We have true false. And they specifically said they could create a training on true false questions. So that's what we would get.
Sure. And when you get through with it, you might want to do some.
Sure, we might want to mix, yes. It's just with the jurisprudence, there's only so many things you can ask, and that's the challenge, I think, because there's only so many things.
And they still end up here anyway.
So, yes. We haven't figured out how to force people to read it, so thank you. So I'll order that training.
Okay. Let's see, next up is number 11. Board may review, discuss, and take action on appointing a veterinary faculty member to the Joint Study Committee on Statewide Animal Control Standards. This was in your supplement one, so we have three different candidates. I don't know about you guys, but I felt like my resume was looking really sad after seeing these individuals and their, you know, 20 plus page.
A short CV.
Yeah.
24 pages.
Right. Right.
So nobody is the lead on this, and so I just open it up to anybody to kind of jump in.
Madam Chairman, I'd like to nominate, appoint Nancy Bradley, DVM, as she is the only veterinarian in the state of Arizona with a specialty certification in shelter medicine.
Isn't Chrysler also have it?
Mm-mm.
She didn't board certify?
Mm-mm.
I like Dr. Bradley's forensic background too is what's so unique and about her, but I really thought they all have great.
So I was looking at the perspective that there was one of them Chrysler was recommended by Senator Kavanaugh, so that's a no for me, period.
Okay. Well, she was the one that came up last month on.
Because she was recommended by the Humane Society of the United States, not the Arizona Humane Society. Yep.
I was going to ask her about clarification on that, so, yeah. Okay.
So that's an immediate no for me, and I maybe could get loud and vocal if anybody opposes me on that.
You don't have to.
I looked through all these, and I also looked at the makeup of the committee and who's on it. There's already mainly shelter people on it. So I'm gonna make the argument that the Pawnee Plantain that has a lot more breadth of a lot of different things in veterinary medicine. Much broader knowledge base and everything else. That's gonna be my support behind that candidate and nobody else.
I'll withdraw my motion. So would you like to make a motion, Mr. Lohi?
Okay, hold on. Well, we have some discussion.
Let's talk about it before we actually do something, I would think. I mean, what are the, like I said, the reasons we're really kind of recommending some over others and stuff, I mean.
Yeah, what is the goal of this committee?
Yeah.
To look at the various shelters and
Animal control standards.
Animal control standards.
But is it really?
Well, that's what it says.
I know what it says in the bill, but I also know who wrote the bill.
But we are here to evaluate things that are in front of us, right? So it is to.
Kavanaugh's name is in front of us.
That is, the bill is to look at shelters, animal control facilities, and determine what the best course of action is for those.
And they don't have a lot of time to do it.
That is incorrect.
I know, right? It's like done by the end of this year.
Right.
Like, what? It's October. Do they even, have they even met?
Well, they're unnamed, so they haven't met.
Yeah, so they haven't met and.
Well, the law doesn't take effect, correct me if I'm wrong, Mark, until.
90 days after.
After the session ended, which is like another 60 some days away, so.
Okay, so.
I would like to point out that I really like how they want our input on this, but they won't let us actually regulate shelters, so. I would like to point that out on record.
I know, like, why did they task us?
Yeah, it's like, you're letting us do something and.
That we don't regulate.
You don't respect us anyway for it, so.
Okay, so does anybody else have any other thoughts on the other candidates?
I withdrew my motion.
Well, I still go back, I like Dr. Bradley as well for an option, but I'm not going to.
So I would make a motion to nominate Bonnie Matang, DBM, for this position.
And I'm going to recuse myself, actually, because I probably know too many people on this, on the piece, so.
I think that's okay, honestly, or, I mean, unless you're like in a personal relationship level. I mean, but I don't want to ask anything, but I mean.
Yeah.
Because we all know, like, people are being appointed to positions.
Right, I think it's just your comfort level and if you would, you know, prefer not to.
Yeah, based on how you presented that to me when I very first started, I should probably recuse myself.
I'm going to second Mr. Loheed's motion.
And Madam Chair, I think it would be a good idea to talk more about why you're selecting some people over another and there specifically what qualifications outweigh others.
Okay, so Mr. Loheed.
Back up here. I got 24 pages.
I know.
Right.
So I think one of the her recommendation letter from the dean of the college, I think speaks volumes to this. And I think that's what impressed me most. I mean, nobody else even has a letter like that that says, okay, we think this person is qualified because of this. So her extensive experience in public health, regulatory veterinary medicine, her leadership positions, animal control and welfare, federal level appointments, development, implementation, review, policies and regulations. So she understands the.
It's pretty amazing.
The administrative processes. And she has the experiences working with a team and probably in the broad things she's done, teams that don't always agree with her. And I think she would be just a strong independent voice. It may not be the one to, kind of like me in here. You know, sometimes I don't see eye to eye with stuff and maybe you don't understand where I'm coming from, but I fight for it. And I think she would, is more likely to be that person on that committee than the other two individuals. I think the other two are more similar to everybody else who's going to be on it. So it's a diversity.
Yes.
This is my diversity, this is my diversity nomination.
This is a macro, a more macro level view. What struck me was the chief public health veterinarian.
I'm sorry, I didn't interrupt.
Go ahead.
Chief public health, I guess what I'm struggling with here is where that gives her the knowledge and expertise within a shelter. And you have a doctor who's boarded in shelter medicine.
You've already got all that with all the others.
Those aren't boarded in, there's not another doctor on there that's boarded in shelter medicine.
Does it matter if they're boarded or they have experience?
I think
What's the difference between boarded having 20 years of experience?
Boarded has a lot more education that goes behind it. They're more current on, and she just boarded, so she's very current on the standards in shelter medicine and where shelters are going. And shelters have changed drastically.
Yes.
You could have somebody who's worked in a shelter for 20 years under really bad conditions, and they think that's okay because they haven't been kept up. Shelter medicine is new in its whole.
But is the new part animal welfare driven?
Yeah, some of it is. I mean, it's shelter standards.
Because that's her forte.
I'd say a huge portion of it is now because people are rising up against kill check shelters,
yeah, right.
So everybody has a no kill. So you have to figure out a way to house.
So right here is that strong.
No, but what I'm saying is you have to figure out a way to house all these animals and not transfer them to kill shelters and these kinds of things. So I mean, it is, welfare is a huge thing right now because we all know how it's working. So
I would also say Dr. Bradley's worked across this county for longer than I even know. I mean, I honestly, she's worked in every different shelter. I think she's consulted in multiple different shelters. She's done shelter design, like with architectural agencies. Like, I just feel like we're eliminating a wealth of knowledge just to get, I don't know what to get actually. So I would make a motion that we go with Dr. Bradley. So just so we know that there's not just one motion that is on the table. And then we can vote on that, right?
Okay. So are we good with those two candidates? Does anyone want to throw in for that other?
We only have one motion.
Yeah.
Well, I know, but I just want to make sure nobody else is.
Well, I'll make a motion separately after this one is voted on, but I just don't want it to. I don't want.
Unless it passes.
Except if it passes.
Right. But that's why I want people to know that I plan on making a different motion so that they can make the best judgment of which one they want to vote on.
I gotcha.
Instead of just going along with the motion that happens to be there at the time.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second to appoint Bonnie Buntain, DVM. We have a second. All those in favor, sorry, roll call. Just
Dr. Byrne?
Nay.
Ms. Krieger?
Nay.
Dr. James is a nay. Mr. Logie?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Nay.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson? Oh, you're recused. Dr. Wright?
Nay.
All right, so I will make a motion that we support Dr. Bradley in the committee, in the, whatever that's called, the Joint Study Committee.
I second that. There's no further discussion. Let's do roll call again.
Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Dr. James is an aye. Mr. Logie?
Nay.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson? Oh, sorry, Dr. Wright.
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. So we have appointed Dr. Bradley. Hopefully she enjoys that appointment and she's not like, hey.
I wish we could have appointed too.
Hopefully Kavanaugh does not.
Oh.
And you'll know about this time next year how good a judgment call we made.
Okay. Next up is number 12, the executive director report. No documents. I'm guessing Victoria's going to.
Chairman of the board, so I just wanted to share that it's time to make the budget again for FY25. I'm actually working on that right now. So just to share some of the things I'm going to be asking for specific funds for some certain projects, such as for IT security reasons, it's been suggested that we get laptops for the board and the IC. So I'm going to put in a budget request so that everybody has one of those, so that you're just using the laptops for board use. I'm also going to put in a request to increase the budget for personnel services. If we wanted to get to a point where everybody was paid at the top of the range, we couldn't do that because we don't have the budget to do it. So it constrains the ability to give raises and hire people at the rates that we hired at. The third thing I'm going to put a request in for that we've touched on in the past few months is related to the substance abuse program. We would be asking for some costs related to support functions for that, because the licensee would be putting the bill, as they always do, for their treatments and things like that and their monitoring. but there will always be a cost to the agency if you need things from the provider and things like that. If we had a formal hearing, we might need them for testimony or something like that. So I've got to build in some costs for that. And then I've also got a quote for a different scan, IT scanning project. You may or may not know that our case files that have disciplinary action have to be kept for 25 years. And traditionally, we've kept those at a document storage place that the state uses for actually a very low cost. So I got a quote to have them all scanned and then to have the state maintain those on the state systems, which is not inexpensive. So I'm actually struggling with, it's actually cheaper to keep paying for the paper copies in the storage that we have. So I'm looking at
the state to do the job.
How safe that is, as well as convenience and things like that. So I may or may not be putting that request in after I saw the dollar amount for what the quote is. So I would expect at the October meeting to give you the final version of what we put forward there. Anybody have any questions or comments or?
On that last one, does it make sense to, from a number of documents perspective, go back, say, 10 years and scan those, and then anything beyond that is scanned moving forward versus continuing to add to the paper copy storage?
That's a fantastic idea.
How often have we had to go back and actually look at those records?
Hardly ever.
Is it worth spending money on an overinflated state program?
Yes.
Probably not, but we'll talk about that next time.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. I'm just going to voice my thoughts right there.
On the other hand, where's the paper stuff? And what's the likelihood of a fire? And it's gone.
It is a majority secure place that all kinds of codes individuals use. But it still could be. There still could be something that happens to it, but there could also be something on the IT site as well. So
that makes me sad.
That's where I'm at. I mean, we would like to get rid of paper, but sometimes it's a lot more expensive than paper. I wish the law could actually, to solve the problem, would be the law to get changed so we don't have to keep them so long, because we don't. It's extremely rare that we ever have to reference them back. Thank you.
Okay, next up, section number 5, review and approval of minutes. The July 19th, 2023 regular session. Dr. Byrne, myself, and Dr. Wright are recused because we're not here, so.
I have a correction.
Pardon?
The July.
I have a correction to the minutes. Okay. Madam Chair. It's page 7 of the minutes, just to be complete. It's the 5th bullet point down. This is regarding Landman. And a motion made by Dr. Nosley, and it currently reads, the order shall also include a civil penalty of $4,000 due on or before the probationary period. We need to add in on or before the end of the probationary period.
Okay. Whew, good catch.
Okay. I'm a nitpicker.
Okay, so we have a motion, and was that a second then, Ms. Solomon?
Yes.
After the change, so
yes.
A motion and a second to approve the minutes.
As amended.
Sorry, yes. Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion passes. Now on to the consent agenda. The board may discuss, consider, and take action on the listed matters. Any item under consent may be removed for independent discussion and action by a board member. Who wants to read off?
We saved this for Dr.
I know, because he's missed doing it, I'm sure.
So I just want to make sure real quick, looking through this one last time, my house wasn't on here, right? So we just got inspected not that long ago.
Ooh.
you're on.
Okay, cool. Just in case. So I make a motion to approve the consent agenda, removing A5, A8, A13, A15, A16, and B8.
Okay, motion and a second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
I make a motion to vote pending inspection and compliance for A13 and A14.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion passes.
And I would make a motion to approve pending compliance A5, A8, A16, and B8.
Second.
Okay. Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All righty. Let's see, summary of current events. This is the time for the board chair, any member of the board, or the executive director to give a brief summary on current events that affect the board. It is informational only and no discussion may occur.
Yes. Madam Chair, I do have one item.
Yes.
The inaugural, the graduation of the inaugural graduating class of the U of A's College of Veterinary Medicine is August the 24th. Unfortunately, I am unable to attend. But if anyone else would like to go, I'm willing to pass on my invitation.
And I saw some other board members had the invitation.
Okay, good. Okay.
It wasn't just you and me.
Okay, okay.
I think Dr. Knobland was on there.
Okay, good. I would help.
Did she get an invitation?
Okay.
I may have.
Email.
It's probably.
He's on email or he gets too much email.
I saw you on the list.
Yeah.
I know I saw your name.
I didn't read it.
Okay. I didn't get on the list.
I was going to say, yeah. All right. Any other current events? Okay. Now is our time for the call to the public. Are we calling anyone? Do you want me to still read off the paragraph? I mean, if there's no one here and there's no. Okay.
And do they have to be here?
Okay, and then establishment of future meeting date. The next regular meeting will be held on Wednesday, September 20th, 2023, beginning at 8:30 a.m. Here, same boardroom, boardroom B. All right, do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion. In memory of my kitty munchkin.
Okay, motion and a second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Sorry, we didn't meet the 12 o'clock threshold, though.
Oh.
I know.
Is it 12 or 12? 12.